This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We have lots of characters in the world, right? And some of them we work with and live with. Some of us have our favorite TV show or movie characters, and what are some of those? What are some of your favorite characters, if you have one? What was that? Thor? Okay, Thor. All right. What about Captain America? Anybody like him? Iron Man? Bugs Bunny? I mean, Superman? All right. What's that?
Bugs Bunny, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely for Bugs Bunny. All right. Well, so we have a variety of characters, and my two sons have their favorite characters, too. And my kids at school have their favorite characters, and I tell them it's better to have character than to be one. Now, what does that mean? It means that we need to have, and this is getting to the serious part here, spirit-filled, Jesus-focused, Jesus-centered character. It means we're to be people of integrity, not just people who are full of hot air, generating a lot of verbiage about being a Christian without having the attitudes, the moral character, and acts of charity to back up the words. You see, God is more interested in how we live out our faith rather than all the words that we have to say. Because we all know some people who are all talk and no do, right? But here's what the Bible has to say about character, and this is from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. Do not bring any more meaningless offerings. I consider your incense detestable. You observe new moon festivals, Sabbaths, convocations, but I cannot tolerate sin-stained celebrations. I hate your new moon festivals and assemblies. They are a burden that I am tired of carrying. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I look the other way. When you offer your many prayers, I don't listen, because your hands are covered with blood. Wash, cleanse yourselves. Remove your sinful deeds from my sight. Stop sinning. Learn to do what is right. Promote justice. Give the oppressed reason to celebrate. Take up the cause of the orphan. Defend the rights of the widow. Come, let's consider your options, says the Lord. Though your sins have stained you like the color red, you can become white like snow. Though they are as easy to see as the color scarlet, you can become white like wool. If you have a willing attitude and obey, then you will again eat the good crops of the land. So God seems from this passage to like obedience and us living consistently according to the testimony of our words rather than just the words. Then there's Amos 5, 21 to 24. I absolutely despise your festivals. I get no pleasure from your religious assemblies. Even if you offer me burnt and grain offerings, I will not be satisfied. I will not look with favor on your peace offerings of fattened calves. Take away from me the noisy songs. I don't want to hear the music of your stringed instruments. Justice must flow like torrents of water. Righteous actions like a stream that never dries up. He wants us to promote justice and to live justly, to be faithful and live obediently before him. We need to advocate for justice for the oppressed and the exploited in practical terms. And that means we need to get connected in reality, in real life, connected to ministries or groups that advocate things like racial justice and advocate an end to human trafficking, which exists right underneath our noses, right here in our communities, right around us. We need to work to eliminate the modern-day slave trade. And I have a list of several human rights organizations that are working on these issues And there are some groups right here in the Boston area that are working to end human trafficking among us. Then we're to work for the most vulnerable in our world, and there is no one so helpless and so vulnerable as a baby who is still in the womb of his or her mother. So the Lord wants for us to live in obedience to Him and do those things that show that He has taken up residence in our heart. This does not mean works salvation. I'm not trying to tell you that the more good deeds you do, the more points you earn, and if you reach a certain level, bing, bing, you're in. That's not at all what this is about. What this means is that we need to be demonstrators of the Christian character, and that our lives are to be a demonstration and proof of Christ's character in us. We show our salvation by how we live, how we act, and the things we say and do. Now that we've covered the need to show Christian character and the need to get involved with actually helping someone, well, we think, yeah, okay, I admit I need to show the character of Christ. Okay, cool. I admit I need to get involved. But how? I need to take this knowledge and make it live. How do I make this real? Well, for one, it's possible for us to get involved in the pro-life cause, and we can also expand our horizons and actually pray for an end to abortion. Then on the brass tacks level, we can actually go and pray in front of an abortion clinic and counsel some of those women, talking to them and telling them what's really going on. And yes, by doing that, we might actually get arrested now, if you can believe that. A friend tells the story about his efforts to end abortion, and I've known this guy for like 12 years or more. But this story is about the reality of the struggle, and it happened in Saginaw, Michigan. Taking note of the fact that there was a pastor in Saginaw whose grandson was taking his pregnant girlfriend to an abortion clinic. The young man was a member of a church in Saginaw, and he drove his pregnant girlfriend over here from CMU. They came to murder your great-grandchild, but didn't have enough cash, so they had to turn away for today. If you don't want the devil to drink the blood of your young family member, go see your grandson tonight and rescue this child now. Your grandson didn't tell me his name or the name of his pregnant girlfriend. When they drove away, she was balled up in the fetal position with her eyes closed. She didn't want to talk to us, to see our signs, or hear our offers of help, or even see us. Know that we are praying. If it was not your grandson, we would still appreciate your prayers and help evangelizing in front of the death pit. To everybody else, please pray. Rejoice with us for two turnaways today. So my friend said that he was able to get two women to change their minds about aborting their babies that day. Grieve with us over the 12 that we did not succeed in. We keep our eyes on Jesus and joyfully spread His kingdom. There's another issue that definitely comes under the category of advocating for justice, and it's standing with the persecuted church. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are regularly enduring persecution. One of those countries where the church is most heavily persecuted is in China. And here is one of their stories. This is from Elder Li Yingquang via a pro-life activist. And he wrote, in December of 2018, Elder Li Qingyang of Early Rain Covenant Church was arrested with other leaders and jailed for 8 months in Chengdu and then released on probation for 1 year, during which time he was required to live in his hometown and to only serve Early Rain through virtual means. But after this probation ended a few weeks ago, he and his family moved back to Chengdu to reunite with their fellow church members. When authorities in Chengdu got word of his return, however, they immediately began harassing and threatening his family again. We're going to give some English translation, a few of the excerpts from personal updates that he sent. This is from September 27th of this year. At about 8:50 p.m., a group of six people from the Chengdu Public Security Bureau came to our door. We received them into our home. They repeatedly told me, "You are not welcome in Chengdu. The Chengdu people do not welcome you. They informed us that they may take a number of measures, including but not limited to strictly surveilling us, following us, legally making it uncomfortable for us to live here, and legally depriving us of custody of our children. They were threatening to take away their kids. Lee's story continues. I stated to them that I wanted to communicate properly with them and did not want a confrontation. I told them I hoped that they would not knowingly break the law or enforce it in an unlawful way. I told them that we are simply believers in Christ who want to bless the city of Chengdu. I said that we obey the authorities, and even if they break the law, but we will still submit to them and are willing to pay the price for our faith. When they left, they saw the spring couplets with the Early Rain Covenant Church logo hanging on our door, and they proceeded to tear them down. We came back to Chengdu because we wanted to share in the sufferings of our brothers and sisters and also to share in the grace with them. May our gracious Lord be with us. May He keep our hearts so that we might always trust Him, praise Him, and testify of Him. I also pray for the leaders and police officers in the Chengdu Public Security Bureau. See, this man prays for the people who are persecuting him. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do in the Sermon on the Mount? Pray for those who persecute you. I pray through their contact with the church, they will come to know the God who made heaven and earth, who controls all things, and who shed His blood and laid down His life to redeem men from their sins. May God take a people for Himself from these police officers and public officials who are persecuting His church. But do we see the genuineness of this Chinese Christian man? Do we see the reality of his faith? He went back and he returned to the place where he knew the persecution was taking place, but he's taking a stand for the gospel where he is. And he's praying for the police who've been tasked to harass him. This is part of having Christian character, standing with the persecuted church and working for their safety. But most of all, we can pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted, taking it as a privilege to pray for them. Those two stories are real. The people in them are real people. But our task as believers to have that character that takes action is to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty in the battle for the Lord's kingdom. No, we can't stop all the persecution. And no, personally, we're not going to end all of the abortions. But we can be involved by our involvement. So we might not save them all, but we can make a difference in the lives of at least one. That itself would be a victory. And my friend, that's the mark of having a deep conviction about Christ and His kingdom and carrying in our hearts the character of Christ. And the character of a Christian is being involved, not just be all talk, but to put some deeds behind the words, to witness, to share the gospel, and to promote justice, which is what mostly today's sermon is about, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.